What I'd like to do today is move on to other distinctions between bishul achar, between cooking by a dover lach and cooking by a dover yavesh, and we'll focus on the ein bishul achar bishul aspect of it, which is the most famous distinction between lach and yavesh. But before I get there, I just want to return to a few points that I've made, and some of them were actually corrected or require some clarification. If you remember when we spoke the first shiur about whether there is bishul on non-food items, so we pointed out that the Gemara on Daf Ayin Dalet speaks about Haiman Deshadi Sichta La'atuna, if a person throws a stick into the furnace. So in that situation, there's going to be bishul. We said that seems to be bishul on a non-food item, although we pointed out that according to Rashi, there does not seem to be bishul on non-food items, because Rashi talks about how there is bishul on the water rather than bishul on the stick. That's what we noted in the first shiur. Moshe Rothman pointed out to me, and I think he's 100% correct, that although Rashi there on Daf Ayin Dalet says that we're cooking the water, but elsewhere in Maseches Yevamis on Daf Vav, Rashi clearly holds that there is bishul on non-food items. The Gemara discusses the malacha, the misa of sreifa, the way that you kill someone of burning the person. The Gemara says that you take some lead and you heat it up. And the Gemara says, mali bishul eiver, what difference does it make if you're cooking lead or if you're cooking some other substance? Now, as far as I know, lead is not food. So you see from the Gemara, as certainly understood by Rashi over there, that there is cooking on non-food items. So the diuk that we had from the Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalet, that Rashi only spoke about the twig with respect to cooking the water in the twig, I don't think that diuk is correct. The other nekuda that I think requires some clarification is, yesterday we discussed the question in many of the poskim, the Beis Yosef in Simin Reish Nun Ches, and others discuss whether you're allowed to take water that is cooked kemaicho ben drusoy, or let me say better, water that is cooked to yad soledespo, and heat that water to the point that it is malarasicha. Can you go from yad soledespo, which is, let's say, 113 degrees Fahrenheit, up to 212? And it seems like the Beis Yosef holds that that's mutter. The Shrisas HaShabbos objects. He says, how could that possibly be mutter? And the way we framed that question was that there's a double question involved. We quoted Rav Rimon that there is a double question involved. The double question is really, what's the status of water that's Yad Soledespo? Do I assume that water that's Yad Soledespo is considered Mevushal Kol Tzarko? Or do I assume that water that is Yad Soledespo is only Mevushal to the extent of Macho Ben Terusai? Meaning, is the water that is Yad Soledespo, does the halacha view it like it's fully cooked? Or does the halacha view it like it is partially cooked? That's really one question. And then that question is predicated on another question, which we noted is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Rashba and the Rambam, about whether something which is mevushal kemeichel ben drusai, do you violate an iser bishul when you make that item mevushal kol tzarko? Those were the two questions that this was predicated upon. I just don't know if we spoke it out clearly enough, but really the question relates to a large extent to whether Yad Soledespo is the equivalent of Mevushal Kol Tzarko. As we noted yesterday, it's entirely possible that there is a distinction in this respect between water that you want for drinking and water that you want for bathing. It could be that for drinking, it is not considered Mevushal Kol Tzarko, whereas by bathing, it is treated as Mevushal Kol Tzarko. That is what we mentioned from the Shvisas HaShabbos on in Os Yud Zayin in the Hakdama, and that would mean, according to the Shvisas HaShabbos, that if water for bathing, once it reaches Yad Soledes, is Mavushal Kol Sarko, so then what would emerge is that water less than Yad Soledes Bo is considered Meichel Ben Shvisai with respect to bathing. That's really the big chiddush, no? The bigger chiddush is, according to the Shvisas HaShabbos, once we're saying that water that's Yad Soledes Bo is Mevushal Kol Tzarko, and we explained it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko for bathing purposes, so that would mean that less than Yad Soledes Bo might be the equivalent of Meichel Ben Shvisai. Now, according to Rabbi Ribiat's temperatures, this actually makes a little bit of sense, in that when you bathe a baby, if the water that's used to bathe the baby is around 99 Fahrenheit or 100 Fahrenheit, that is a temperature that's not Yad Soledes Bo, but it could be that there is Meichel Ben Shvisai on less than Yad Soledes Bo, Meichel Ben Shvisai in the sense of what you use to bathe the baby, and I guess what a person would go into if they just need, if you're a fugitive and you run into a house and you just need a really quick shower, I guess it's the equivalent of a 9 days shower if you're really machmir, really machmir in the din of 9 days. So it could be that macho ben drusoi by liquids might be even pachos than yad sola dispo. I just felt that we didn't define that as precisely as we could have yesterday. A third, Mr. Zolti, how are you? You liked this svara of bathing. Yeah, you were into it yesterday. Yeah, so is it clear that there's a concept of Macho Ben Shvisai by liquids at all? That's a very fair question. Let me send you to the tshuva in Igris Moshe in Chelak Dalet Simin Ayin Chelak Dalet Simin Ayin Dalet Os Aleph of Bishul, where he discusses this question entirely. It seems unlikely that the concept of Macho Ben Shvisai only applies to solids. All the Acharonim are assuming it applies to liquids. The question is, what temperature would I say is Meichel Ben Shvisai by liquids? Again, I am open to questioning that assumption. I'm just saying that all the Acharonim make that assumption. Yoni, you have a comment? Correct. That absolutely, it's a much bigger chiddush, but the Shvisas HaShabbos says it. I find it to be a huge chiddush, but it's a chiddush that is said in the Shvisas HaShabbos, which is really a brilliant and beautiful sefer. Let's talk about a practical application of this question of taking water from Yad Soledes Bo and make that water Male Resicha. The practical question comes up with urns. If I fill my urn right before Shabbos, so the water might not be Yad Soledes Bo at the beginning of Shabbos. That's not such a problem because there's no concern that you'll be mechata. There's no concern that you'll stoke the flames. You can't stoke the flames. It's an urn. So I have an urn. And my urn on Erev Shabbos has water, which is, or the urn has water, which is not Mala Resicha. The newer urns, the pump pots, I think are, the pump pots are always going to be Mala Resicha. Actually, I kasher kalim sometimes. I kasher a spoon that I put it into my pump pot because you take off the cover of the pump pot and you see that the water is mamish boiling. So I could just kasher my spoon by sticking it into my pump pot. I'm teaching.
Could I? Please, I listen for a while.
1 second. Yes, if you can't disturb me, I'm teaching.
Okay, but could I leave?
I said no.
But I listened
to you. I said no. Now, the water in the pump pot is going to be malarasicha. But let's say you have a pump pot that's not yet malarasicha. The water was put in very close to Shabbos, or your pump pot somehow isn't working great. It's not actually bubbling. It's not actually 212 Fahrenheit. But the temperature is over 113. It's over Yad Soledes. When I take water out of the urn or the pump pot, right, here's the big chiddush in physics, gentlemen. When you take water out, so you have less water that remains in. Nachon? If there's less water that remains in, the water that remains in that pot will cook faster than the water that was in the pot beforehand, just because there's less water. So it could be that by taking some water out of the pot, the water that I take out of the pot was Yad Soledispo, and now because there is less water in the pot, it's going to reach Male Resicha. It's going to end up boiling. It's going to go, let's say, from 170 to 212. So that situation is the case where we have this discussion in the Achronim. Right? The Beis Yosef, of course, would be Mekel. That as long as the water is Yad Soledes, and we said that maybe we should use a Machmir Shir of Yad Soledes, like 170. So once you have that temperature, to get it to 212 is fine, according to the Beis Yosef. But we pointed out the Shvisas HaShabbos is not convinced that this is correct at all. So this Machlokes would relate to taking water out of an urn. That's why some of the urns write on the directions that you should be very careful to make sure that the water is actually boiling before you withdraw water from the urn. If you don't make sure that it's actually boiling, so it could be that you'll be in violation of Bishul, at least according to the Shvisas HaShabbos, in his disagreement with the Beis Yosef. Is that clear, gentlemen? Rabbi Israel, it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for joining us. Those of you who don't know Rabbi Israel, who's on the Shir, now Rabbi Israel is the director of the Mizrahi, which is really a fascinatingly important organization, and it's a great kavod that you're here for the Shir. Thank you for joining us. Okay, Chevra. So far we have been speaking about cooking solids versus cooking liquids. We pointed out that there are different gradations, different measures, different yardsticks by which we look at Bishul. By liquids, so Yad Soledespo is the measure. By solids, it has to be cooked, a grogeres, etc., to be fully cooked. All of this was discussed yesterday. The biggest distinction between cooking liquids and cooking solids on Shabbos, however, does not relate to the initial cooking, but it relates to the subsequent cooking. We have a rule. The Tosfos HaRosh actually assumes that this is like one of the Ikarei HaEmuna. This is something that we're not allowed to question. And that rule is that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Once something is cooked, so subsequent cooking is not halachically problematic. That is the basic idea. And this is found in the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis, where the Mishnah tells us that kosher ba b'chamin me'erev Shabbos, shorin oso b'chamin b'Shabbos. If the food was already cooked erev Shabbos, you're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos. If it's lo ba b'chamin, right, so then it does not apply. And this is the source of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, this Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis. It's interesting to note that the Gemara in the first line on Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis says, Kigon Mai. What is a case of something that's Baba Chamin Milufnei HaShabbos? So the Gemara writes, so Amar Rav Safra Kigon Tarnagolto de Reb Abba. It's like a certain bird of Reb Abba that was cooked beforehand. So since it was cooked beforehand, you're allowed to subsequently cook it on Shabbos. There's a din of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul by Tarnagolto de Reb Abba. It's clear from the normal understanding of Tarnagolto de Reb Abba that that's a solid item. It's not clear as to whether the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies to liquids as well. Do I assume that once a liquid is cooked, I will also say ein bishel achar bishel? Or do I make a distinction between the cooking of liquids and the cooking of solids? Right? The same type of distinction that we've been talking about in the last couple of days, that liquids and solids are governed by different rules of bishel. It's entirely possible that that has a very practical ramification with respect to ein bishel achar bishel. And like everything in Judaism, it's a machlokes. No? Everything kemat is, besides, I guess, the Ikari Ha'emunah, and even with the Ikari Ha'emunah, Mark Shapiro pointed out that there are machlokesim certainly among those. But ein bishel achar bishel is a yesod. Whether it applies to Davar Lach is a machlokes, and the Rush in Perek Gimel Simin Yud Aleph, the Rush quotes that according to Rashi, the rule of ein bishel achar bishel only applies to solids, does not apply to liquids. Rashi on Daf Lamed Daled, in the context of one of the Isurim Dirabbanon of Bishel on Shabbos called Hatmana, which is insulating, the Gemara says the Hatmana, or certain types of Hatmana, are forbidden. Shema Yartiach. Zukt Rashi, Shema Yartiach means that you will cook the liquid again. It was cooked beforehand. So the Rush says, you see that according to Rashi, Ein Bishel Achar Bishel only applies to solids. It does not apply to liquids. Similarly, Rashi and Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara has a, I'm just paraphrasing the Rush for you, Rashi and Daf Yud Ches, also the Gemara says that there's a concern, maybe you'll be magus with certain types of food, perhaps you will stir it. Rashi writes that despite the fact that the food was cooked already, or I should say despite the fact the liquid or the soup, whatever it is, was previously cooked, nonetheless you're going to violate bishel again because it's a mashke. By liquids, according to Rashi, we say yesh bishel achar bishel. The Rush suggests that maybe this is the pshat in the Mishnah in Beitza on Daf Lamed Daled. The Mishnah says that one person brings fire, one person brings wood, one person puts the pot down, another person stirs it. They're all chayiv. How are they all chayiv? Once you put the pot down, it got cooked. Once it got cooked, so then how could you be chayiv? It's ein bishel achar bishel. The answer is that by liquids, Rashi holds yesh bishel achar bishel. Now, that would assume, by the way, that when you put the pot on the fire, apparently it either did not yet reach mala resicha, or it is being heated up beyond yad soledes to mala resicha, or the case is that I'm putting food on the fire, I'm putting a liquid on the fire that was previously cooked. The Rush says that he thinks, initially at least, that the Mishnah in Beitza would be a proof to the idea that there is yesh bishel achar bishel by davar lach. But then the Rush moves away from it, and the Rush says, no, he doesn't think that that is correct. Ikol amidchi, that in that case, we're only talking about before the food becomes maicho ben drusoi. Someone puts water on a fire, that person is going to be in violation of bishul, because, and we'll talk about this later on, the presumption is it will cook all the way, and that's enough to violate the iser of bishul. It could be that the person who stirs it afterwards, because it is not yet yad soledes, is also violating bishul. It could be that both people are getting involved in this liquid before yad soledes, and therefore they're both in violation of bishul. So let's just review. The Rush quotes Rashi, that Rashi holds that despite the fact that the Mishnah says on Kuf Mem Hei that ein bishel achar bishel, nonetheless, by a davar lach, yesh bishel achar bishel, and when the Gemara says, kigon tarnagota dereb abba, it really means it. The Rush at first thinks that there is a primary source that supports Rashi, which is a Mishnah in Beitza. Then the Rush moves away from that. He thinks that the Mishnah in Beitza is not an absolute proof. Ad kan Divrei Harush. The same issue, of course, as to whether there's Bishel Achar Bishel by Dover Lach, appears in the Ran on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph B'Dapei Harif. The Ran quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that Machshela Gedola Tachas Yidei Ketzas Ha'am, that many people violate a very serious Aveira. What they do is they take some hot water, and they take that hot water and they pour it into a pot on Shabbos. And says the Rabbeinu Yonah, this is going to be a problem, because maybe that hot water is not going to be Yad Soledespo anymore. And then you're cooking that hot water. Meaning, although it was cooked beforehand, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, by the hot water to heat it up a second time is a problem. Comes along the Ran, and he jumps up and down and he spits wood and nickels. And the Ran writes, I'm skipping, the Rabbeinu Yonah has a second Chumrah that we'll have to talk about in Reish Nun, we'll discuss it when we learn Reish Nun Gimel, the second Chumrah for Rabbeinu Yonah, but it's not germane for now. But then the Ran writes at the end of that paragraph, V'lo yodati minayin lo, sh'arei koshuba b'chamin lufni ha'shabes, sh'onosu b'chamin b'shabes, af opi shu'tzon in gomor, v'lo yodati hefesh b'mayim b'vushalin l'mevushal acher, v'tzarich iyun u'bedika. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran says, I know of no distinction between solids and liquids. The rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is categorical. It applies in all the cases, and there's nothing to talk about. So what we have is a machlokes between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran as to whether Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal applies by a Davar Lach. The Beis Yosef, when he stacks the deck, the Beis Yosef points out that the majority of Rishonim agree with the Rush, and therefore he will follow the opinion that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal by a Davar Lach. However, he notes, and this is a little bit unusual, that this is following the majority of Rishonim, following the Rush, as opposed to the Rambam. There is a Shmua out there that the only area of halacha where Sfaradim follow the Balei HaTosfos and Ashkenazim follow the Rambam is in Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. There's like some rumor in terms of how many can, in terms of whether all members of the family light or not. There's a rumor, they quote this from Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, such a rumor exists. However, we have over here another instance where the Mechaber, at least, is paskening against the Rambam, or he tells me he's paskening against the Rambam, and he's paskening like the Rush, like the Balei HaTosfos. The Rush always reflects the opinions of the Balei HaTosfos. He's paskening like the Balei HaTosfos against the Rambam. Now let's look at that Rambam carefully, though. The Beis Yosef says that the Rambam holds that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, excuse me, that the Rambam holds that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal by Yadavar Lach. The Beis Yosef says that the Rambam argues on the Rush. And the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, the last two lines of the Rambam, Katuv B'Rambam, HaMevashel Al Ha'or Davar Shayam Mevushal Kol Tzarko, O Davar She'eino Tzarich Bishal Klal, Patur. If you cook something that is fully cooked, or something that doesn't require cooking, we spoke about that last line in the Rambam yesterday in the comment of the Shar HaTziyun in Se'if Katin Kuf Yud Dalid. But the Rambam writes that if you cook something that's fully cooked, or something that does not require any cooking, so then you are patur, then you are exempt. Says the Beis Yosef, the Rambam does not distinguish between solids and liquids. And if the Rambam doesn't distinguish between solids and liquids, what that means is that for the Rambam, the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal applies to liquids as well. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, the Rambam is disagreeing with our Rush B'Shem Rashi. The Rush quotes from Rashi that there's a distinction between solids and liquids. And by liquids, Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal. But the Rambam holds, no, ein bishul lachar bishul, even though it is a davar lach. That is the Beis Yosef's take on the Rambam. Not bad. Not bad. But who wants to show me why this take on the Rambam is not at all compelling? And it could be that the Rambam is not really saying ein bishul achar bishul to the same extent that the Mishnah on Kuf Mem He said ein bishul achar bishul. Does anyone want to take a stab at this? Mr. Zolti, how are you, sir?
What?
Nachon. The Rambam, right, the Mishnah says that kol sheba b'cham lifnei HaShabbos, that's something that was cooked before Shabbos, so shorin also b'cham Shabbos. L'chatchila, mutter, heter, gomor, ein bishul achar bishul, is mamish kosher l'mahadrin. Right, that's what the Mishnah on Kuf Mem He says. But the Rambam writes that ein bishul achar bishul is not heter gomor. The Rambam writes that there's an iser d'rabbanon of bishul achar bishul, both by lach and by yavesh. The Beis Yosef is correct that the Rambam does not distinguish between solids and liquids, but the Rambam holds that there's an iser d'rabbanon of bishul achar bishul against the Mishnah. Now, how the Rambam will learn the Mishnah, right? How can you kvetch it into the Mishnah when the Mishnah sounds like it's l'chatchila? I don't know. Or what I'll say is it's difficult. But the Rambam's shita is that there is an iser d'rabbanon of bishul achar bishul. Now, some of the Achronim assume that the Rambam, the Eglay Tal, has this. By the way, Rav Rimon, you know, in his Sefer, likes to give us biographical information of the various Gedolim. He also likes to tell us that which of the Gedolim were big Zionists. So the Sachi Chava Rebbe, the author of the Avnei Nezer and the Eglay Tal, was a tremendous Zionist. He wanted to make Aliyah. The only reason he didn't make Aliyah is he felt that the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz is only if a person actually works the land. But if a person goes to Eretz Yisrael and has to be supported by people in Chutz La'aretz because the person is learning Torah and the like, and she's not earning parnosa from the land, so that's not a kiyum of the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. That was the Eglay Tal, the Avnei Nezer's approach to Zionism. The other interesting thing about the Eglay Tal is he writes in the Hakdama that at one point in life he just wasn't feeling well. He was getting terrible headaches. And he wasn't able to learn properly. So he couldn't write shuvas like the Avnei Nezer. So he decided to work on Hilchos Shabbos, which is so much easier than what he writes in his shuvas. And that's when he wrote the Eglay Tal, when he was sick. That's like unbelievable. The Eglay Tal is like such a powerful sefer. Like it's such profound analysis of all the shitos. And that's what he wrote when he was sick. I find that really inspiring, actually. Or really depressing, because when I'm sick, I actually accomplish absolutely nothing. But that's a different conversation. So now, the Eglay Tal understands that when the Rambam says Pater, that there's an Isser D'Rabbanon, what the Rambam means is that you'll violate an Isser D'Rabbanon if you take fully cooked food, and you put the fully cooked food on top of a flame on Shabbos, which is the Isser D'Rabbanon that we'll discuss probably in 2 weeks from now or so, called HaChazara. That you're not allowed to take food and put it on a direct flame on Shabbos, or to put the food even on top of a blech in certain circumstances is forbidden. That's the Isser of HaChazara. It's a concern that maybe you'll stoke the coals, etc. And says the Eglay Tal, when the Rambam writes Patur, the Rambam writes it's Patur because there would be the Isser D'Rabbanon of HaChazara. The Rabbi Willig points out in his Sefer on page 13, 14, etc., that this is a very difficult take on the Rambam. You see, one of the unusual things about the Rambam sequence in Hilchos Shabbos, Chaim Soloveitchik points out in volume 2 of his collected writings, that when he learned with his father, Zichrono Livracha, when he learned of the Rav used to say that the Mafteach, the key to understand the Rambam, is by focusing on the sequence. And Chaim Soloveitchik points out that the sequence of almost all of the Rambam makes perfect sense, but Hilchos Shabbos is really very difficult. Lahavdil, Hilchos Shabbos is like the way Fairway used to be. In Fairway, they had different sections for organic food and non-organic food. And it was like very complicated, because if you want to buy a lemon, you don't always know if I want to buy an organic lemon or a non-organic lemon. You want to maybe check the price. And the organics used to be in one part of the store, and the non-organics in a different part of the store. And that was like a complicated arrangement. The Rambam's arrangement, Lahavdil, was like Fairway. The Rambam's arrangement of Hilchos Shabbos is that in Perek, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, the Rambam tells us the Malachos in terms of the Avos Malachos, the Isurim Do'iraisa. Then the Rambam in Perek, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, the Rambam tells me all the Isurim Derabbanon of Hilchos Shabbos. Right? It's a really complicated structure of Hilchos Shabbos. To split between Do'iraisas and Derabbanons is very difficult. It's difficult also how come the Rambam, right at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, talks about dinim of Amir al-Nachri. Right? First of all, gives us klolim in Parak Av, then he talks about dinim of Amir al-Nachri, etc. So Chaim Soloveitchik has his essay where he maintains that the Rambam's sequence of Hilchos Shabbos is really a polemic against the Karaites. Ayin Sham V'Tim Tzanachas. It's actually very long, but it's actually a very beautiful essay. But this is relevant for us, because the Eglei Tal is suggesting that according to the Rambam, when I say potter, when I say that there's an Iser D'Rabbonon of Bishol Achar Bishol, that Iser D'Rabbonon is the Iser D'Rabbonon which I know from elsewhere, the Iser D'Rabbonon of Hachazara, of putting food on the fire on Shabbos. And that's very difficult, because if the Iser D'Rabbonon, the potter, is a potter of Hachazara, so it should really be in Parakof Beis of Shabbos. It should be where the Rambam discusses all the Isurim Dirabbanon of Shehiyah and Hachazara and Hatmana, etc. The fact that the Rambam has it in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos gives you the indication that for the Rambam, this is going to be an Isur Dirabbanon of Bishol rather than an Isur Dirabbanon of Hachazara. Or to use more lumdisha terms, the way Rav Schechter distinguishes in his Sefer Be'ikve Hatzon, there's a difference between what we call Isurim Dirabbanon and Gezeros Dirabbanon. An Isur Dirabbanon is, Ichveis, if I write, but my writing is not going to be the type of writing which I'm Chayiv Min HaTorah for in Shabbos. I write with invisible ink. I write with my left hand. So that is considered writing, but it's not writing min ha-Torah. It's writing mid-Rabbonon. But then there are other situations called gezeros de-Rabbonon, where Chazal forbid an activity because you might come to do something else. Hachazorah is such an activity. Chazal say, I can't take a pot and put it on the fire, I might stoke the coals. That's a gezeira derabbanon. The impression that you get from the Rambam, again, I'm elaborating on what Rabbi Willig has in his Sefer in Perek on page 13-14, but the impression you get from the Rambam is that when I say ein bishol achar bishol, that means min ha-Torah, there is no bishol achar bishol. Midrabbanon, there is. And midrabbanon, there is bishol achar bishol in the sense of it's an iser derabbanon. It's considered subsequent cooking is considered cooking midrabbanon. It's not that it's forbidden because I might come to do something else. It's not a gezeira. Gezeiras are in Perek Chaf Beis. This would be an iser derabbanon in Perek Tes. And that, of course, really changes Judaism considerably. That would mean, if we adopt the Rambam, that would mean that I have no kula ever of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Ein Bishol Achar Bishol just means, Min HaTorah, you're not culpable. But there is no such kula ever. And Rabbi Willig takes this idea and he runs with it and he constantly applies it in his Sefer. And I do not understand why he would apply it so often, because even though his take on the Rambam is correct, but the fact that the Poskim do not take the Rambam this way. The Poskim, in the sense of, we saw the Beis Yosef doesn't take the Rambam this way. The Beis Yosef says that the Rambam holds that Ein Bishalach HaBishal is a categorical statement. Both Lach, Yavesh, and it's going to be Heter Gomor. If that's the case, so the Beis Yosef, and who's the father of our Halacha, so the Beis Yosef is really denying this diuk in the Rambam. This, of course, leads to a methodological issue about how we go about paskining shailas. Do I paskin, am I bound by the Shulchan Aruch? Or do I try to go back to the primary sources and interpret the primary sources and recreate the halacha, so to speak? Do I feel that Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef is more of a halachic work than Shulchan Aruch, do I feel that Beis Yosef is a binding book on us, that all of Klal Yisrael has accepted it? Or do I say no? Do I say that really my job as a posek is to understand the Rishonim, and if my understanding of Rishonim is at odds with the way the Rishonim have been understood until now, so I'll follow them, I won't follow me, either based on the degree of humility or because we assume that Klal Yisrael has accepted the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, as our halachic text, and therefore I can't go back. Now, just like a very brief aside, briskers tend to learn halacha the way Rabbi Willig is learning it, based on their own analysis of the Rishonim. That's the tradition that comes from the Vilna Gaon. That tradition lives on in another rabbinical seminary, down on, where is it, like 125th Street or so? The other rabbinical seminary down 125th Street are very into learning halacha based on their understanding of the original sources. They say that the father of their movement is the Gra, which is really, really interesting. I would maintain that brisker halacha was never done, in the sense of Reb Chaim, despite his methodology of reinterpreting Rambams, etc., Reb Chaim never paskened shailas. There's a different Jew in Brisk who paskened shailas. The Dayan of Brisk was Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger, no? Not Reb Chaim. And there are different shmuas as to why Reb Chaim didn't pasken shailas. But it's entirely possible that the reason why Reb Chaim didn't paskened shailas is he recognized that his methodology in Psak Halacha is novel, and he didn't want to go against the traditional methodology of Psak. So that's my aside. If anyone has comments on this, I'm happy to hear it. This is Judaism according to me. Let's go weiter. So Nachzor l'Didan. Ready, Chavre? The Rush. Paskins at Yesh B'Shalach HaBishal by Dover Lach, based on his take on the Rashi. The Rambam and very many Rishonim assume that Ein B'Shalach HaBishal both by Dover Lach and by Dover Yavesh. Interestingly, in this case, we have a situation where Sfardim are more likely to follow the Rush, that there is Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal by Dovar Lach, and Ashkenazim perhaps are following the majority of Poskim, or what Ashkenazim assume. How I count is always an halachic question, but Ashkenazim are more likely to follow the Rambam Ude'ime that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is a categorical statement. And it applies both by Lach, both by Yavesh. We see this in Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Ches, Se'if Dalet. The Mechaber begins by talking about a Tavsho Shenispasho called Sarko, Yeshbo Bishol Imnitztanein. The Achronim say, the Mishnah Brura comments, that we're talking about a Dovar Lach, and there is Bishol on a Dovar Lach Imnitztanein. Nitztanein means, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Se'if Katin Chaf Dalet, if it goes to, it goes beneath Yad Zolad Espo. According to Sfardi Psak, by a Dover Lach, the moment it drops beneath Yad Zolad Espo, there is going to be Bishol Achar Bishol. Ashkenazi psak, however, is very different. The Rama writes, and the Rama again, the Rama writes that, no, that we assume, it's in Sif Chesubav, I believe, I just have to turn to the page. The Rama writes at the end of Sif Tesva, "V'nahagu lahakel baze imlo nitzdanin legamrei k'moshe kasavti la'el." The Rama writes that there are different opinions as to whether there's bishulach or bishul by yedavar lach. Our minhag is to be mekel as long as it is not nitzdanin legamrei. What that means l'cha'ora is that although the water dropped beneath Yad Soledes bo, if people still consider it lo nitztanin legamrei, there's a teeny bit of chamimus left to it. Some say it's the difference between water that is, it just has a tiny bit of chamimus that remains. The Alter Rebbe says what this means is that some people will consider it chamin. Others say that it means that it is still above room temperature. But Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, according to... But Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, according to the Ramah, we have more of a kula than we have according to the Rambah, but then we have according to the Mechaber. The Mechaber holds, fundamentally like Rashi and the Rush, that yesh bishalach ar bishal by davar lach, and the moment it drops beneath Yad Soledes, and Yad Soledes lahachmir, let's say, is 170, so you're not allowed to heat it up again, according to the Mechaber. The Rama would say no. The Rama would say, as long as it's not nitztanin legamrei, the minhug is to be mekel. That means that the Rama is more fundamentally, again, I'm understanding the Rama the way, I'll be with you in 1 second, Gabe, Gabe Isaacs, the Rama is more fundamentally assuming, like the Rambam, that ein bishol achar bishol bayadavar lach. However, if it's nitztanin legamrei, so that's too much of a kula. If it mamish went down to room temperature, so I can't be so mekel. Like, people will think that you're not orthodox if you give a kula like that. It's too much of a kula. So therefore, we say you have to be machmir once it is nitztanin legamrei. But me'ikar hadin, the Rama would say, that ein bishol achar bishol by davar lach, even when it's nitztanin legamrei. That should be the ikar hadin according to the Rama, again, at least as understood by the Chazon Ish. Mr. Isaacs, you had a comment?
If they want like a second bowl of soup, if they want a second bowl of soup, they have to like make sure that there's no liquid left inside their soup bowl.
Yeah. So again, well, liquid in the soup bowl is a question of irui, but what we'll talk about with more discussion is the ladle on the soup. No, I take my soup out of my pot with a ladle. My pot is a kli rishon. It was on the fire directly. My ladle has some drops of water. And if there are drops of water there, so those drops of water are going to very quickly drop beneath Yad Soledes bo. And then when I insert the ladle into the pot a second time, I'm going to be cooking those drops of water in my ladle. That's why the minig and Moresh HaKol always was that we left the ladle in the soup. Right, you take the ladle out, you put it right back in immediately, because or else there is potential bishol, achar bishol, which according to Sfaradim is really going to be a problem, because Sfaradim hold that yesh bishol achar bishol by davar lach once it drops beneath Yad Soledes bo, which happens very quickly with droplets of liquid. Again, I gave you a Maramukim in the Tshuva and Igris Moshe in Simon Sadi Gimel at the end. There's one paragraph where Moshe discusses this at some length, and we'll get there a little bit later, but yes, you're correct according to the Mechaber. Rabbi Israel, you had a hand up?
Yeah, I happened to see a nice explanation. I wish I could remember where I saw it, that the Ramah holds in Bishrul Achar Bishrul, but with the Devar Lach, the only way that you can tell that there was a Bishrul to begin with was that there's a little bit of Chamimut, as opposed to a Devar Yavesh, where you can obviously tell there was already
Bishrul. So that's a very good explanation. In a couple of minutes, I want to present that explanation and maybe a few other explanations as to why we'd have a distinction between Lach and Yavesh, which of course is more of an issue, obviously, for the Ramah, at least for the Ramah, as understood by the Chazon Ish, that fundamentally Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Well, again, it's more of a distinction for the Mechaber than for the Ramah. You're right, because for the Mechaber, there is Ein Bishul Achar Bishul by Dovar Yavesh, by Dovar Lach, Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Arye, is that a hand up?
Yeah, what Rebbe said on Gabe's question about, just to clarify, that the Bishul would be a problem in the ladle?
The Bishul would be a problem on the liquid that remains inside the ladle. In other words, there's going to be some droplets that remain. Lecha ora, Bishul, like all malachos of Shabbos, you violate any tiny amount. Maybe it will be a chatzi shir, but we paskin the chatzi shir is also aser min atayra. Right? So it should be a problem. That would be the pashtus, yeah.
So last Shabbos, I saw that Rosh Shlomo Zalman says about tea essence, about it, if you just have a cup of hot water. So even if it's a klisheni, so you pour the tea essence into that klisheni, by chalav, and at least chalav and tea essence, that there's no problem bishul there.
Right, so I want to talk about that in greater detail when we talk about klisheni separately. We'll get there. The difficulty with bishul is that, like so many areas, the difficulty of bishul, which is part of the beauty of bishul, is that we all have experienced it many times. And the difficulty is so many of the sugyas intersect. So that discussion that you're talking about, whether we could put milk or tea into a klisheni, that's a discussion that I want to have when we learn klisheni. Okay, gentlemen, what we have, at least for the Mechaber, is that by a Dover Yavesh, I paskin ein bishul achar bishul, but by a Dover Lach, like the Rush said, b'shem Rashi, by a Dover Lach, yesh bishul achar bishul. Why would there be such a distinction? Why would this apply? So I have three possibilities I'd like to present. The first possibility is suggested by our friend the Shvisas HaShabbos. The Shvisas HaShabbos over here in Se'if Katin Ayin Hey. The Shvisas HaShabbos quotes a Chacham Echad, who he doesn't want to mention by name because he disagrees with it. The Chacham Echad said that the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is because you're not accomplishing anything. There's nothing accomplished with the second cooking, because the item was already cooked. If that's the case, so that would be true by a Dovar Yavesh, the item was cooked already, and therefore I'm not accomplishing anything when I subsequently cook it. But by a Dovar Lach, where the cooking completely went away, right, once the water cools down, so it's now cold water, there's no remembrance of that original cooking. So you can't say that you're accomplishing nothing. The rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, according to this Chacham that the Shvisas HaShabbos quotes, is the same rule as Ein Tochein Achar Tochein, that the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yod Tes has, etc. Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. Right, once something was ground, there's no subsequent grinding. The melacha of Zora. There's a discussion in the Magen Avraham. When Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbos, how do you get rid of your chometz? How do you get rid of your bread? So some say what you do is right? You crumble up the bread and then you throw it into the wind. Shouldn't that be a malach of Zorah? So some are machmir, but the Magen Avraham says, come on, what are you kvetching with the chumrah? Ein Zorah achar Zorah. It was already winnowed, right? You already separated it. So there's no further malacha. And all the Achrayim explain that by all these malachas, when they say Ein X, Achar X, what I'm really saying is that there is no accomplishment of this second action. It was done already. You're not accomplishing anything. So that's why Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, you're not accomplishing anything, and therefore, Dover Yovish is different than Dover Lach. The Shvisas HaShabbos quotes this from a Chacham Echad, but the Shvisas HaShabbos says it's patently false. Many Rishonim hold, we saw the Bir Halacha in Se'if Dalet quoted, a big machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, as to whether food that was cooked kemacho ben shrusoi, if you subsequently make that food mevushal kol tzarko, do I say ein bishal achar bishal? Now, if you hold that the lomdus of ein bishal achar bishal is you're not accomplishing anything, so when I take food from Meichel ben Shusai and I make it Mevushal Kol Tzarko, I'm definitely accomplishing something. The food is more cooked than it was beforehand. It was previously fugitive food. Now it is normal person food. I'm really accomplishing. So that Svara doesn't seem reasonable. And even if you hold that, there's only that the principle of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal only applies when food was cooked Kol Tzarko, but the food is still going to be mitztamek v'yafalo. Sometimes you have food, chalant. Chalant is the classic example, mitztamek v'yafalo, no? Chalant that was cooking for 3 hours is geshmak. Chalant that was cooking for 30 hours is even more geshmak, no? Chalant, the longer it cooks, the better it becomes. Mitztamek v'yafalo. So even though the food is mevushal kol tzarko, there's improvement in the food. So you can't say ein x after x because there's no improvement. Moreover, says the Shvisas HaShabbos, if I cook food together, I cook, potatoes with onions. Let's say the potatoes were previously cooked and the onions were previously cooked. But there is accomplishment because now my onions have the flavor of potatoes in them. Now my potatoes have the flavor of onions in them. So the Shvisas HaShabbos says, nice try, but no cigar. Right? It just doesn't work. Because you can't say that the rationale for Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is because there is zero accomplishment. Lemaisa, we know that even in situations where you would say there is accomplishment, nonetheless, many hold that we still apply the principle of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Mr. Falk, how is Cleveland?
Cleveland's great. It's worth noting that there are liquids for which that is true, right? Like if you just take plain water and you heat it up and then let it cool down, like there is no impact and no visible difference. So maybe we're taking the lowest common denominator.
Right, so there are certain liquids where there is no improvement, and that's why the Shvisas HaShabbos entertains this as his original suggestion. But he says it just doesn't work. It's against many Rishonim. Moreover, and this is a point that Rav Rimon makes in his Sefer, there are certain liquids that you cook them, and there's a change, and then it cools down, and you dafka want it when it's cooled down. No? Fruit soup is like that. I heat up the fruit in the liquid, in the water, and then it cools down, and I dafka want it when it's cooled down or something. Right? So what are you going to tell me? That subsequent heating of it doesn't accomplish anything? Or let me say this a little differently. Svara number one is that there is no accomplishment with subsequent bishul, but by liquids there is accomplishment. Svara number two, that Rav Rimon entertains on page 253 in his book. Rav Rimon says, you know what? Liquid, when I cook a salad, I created food. Raw chicken is not food. Schnitzel, that's food. I created food. So by a davar yavesh, the food was already created beforehand. If the food's already created, So then, once I created food, if I cook it again, I'm not in violation of anything. I made food. But by a liquid, if I cook it and then it cools down, the entire cooking is gone. It lost its shame of cooked water. And therefore, I am in violation if I cook it again. L'moshel, if I want to eat cold schnitzel, I remember when I was in yeshiva, Schatayani Mazker Ayom, we used to love to break into the kitchen of KBY and steal the schnitzel. And one time, actually, the Rosh Yeshiva, I don't know why he thought it was the Americans who did this. He called a meeting of all the Americans to say that Tzipora, who's in charge of the kitchen, said that there's a lot of schnitzel that's missing, and who's guilty of stealing the schnitzel? It was like one of the scariest moments in life, no? The Rosh Yeshiva calls you in and accuses you of stealing the schnitzel. Baruch Hashem wasn't me, but it was an American. But Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, raw chicken is not food. You cook it, it becomes food. Even though it subsequently cools off, it remains food. However, cold water that is heated, so now it's hot water. When it cools off, it's no longer hot water. Right? You can't say there's a chalos shame that it became a food. That doesn't make sense. Because, A, it was a food beforehand. And, B, whatever chalos shame there was goes away. So that's why there's going to be yesh bishal achar bishal by yadavar lach. Now, this approach, Rav Rimon suggests on page 253, but he doesn't like it. He says, I don't like it because of the fruit soup that I jumped the gun and I mentioned. Fruit soup is something that you cook, and even after it cools down, the chalos shem fruit soup remains. It doesn't go back with kadmuso. Chicken soup, no? Chicken soup. When it cools down, there is a vestige of the chicken soup. I have a neighbor here who used to like eating cold chicken soup. I don't understand it at all, but that's what she enjoyed eating. Chicken soup, even when it's cold, still there are vestiges of that original cooking. So you can't say the svara that it became an ochel and then it loses the shame ochel, because many liquids don't lose the shame ochel and they're still ne'echal, either l'chatchila or al kol panim, people will eat it like chicken soup, b'di'eved, even after it cools down. So that svara he doesn't like. The svara that he does like, again in Rav Rimon Sefer, the svara he likes, is that cooking a solid creates a chemical change that is permanent in the food. Cooking a liquid does not create a permanent chemical change in the food. Cooking a liquid generally creates a molecular change, just that the particles move farther apart as they're hot. But they cool down, there's no real chemical change, as opposed to a solid, that there is a chemical change. Now, again, I'm not sure if this svara will work for chicken soup either. And in fact, Rabbi Willig, in his Sefer, entertains the idea that maybe we treat chicken soup not like a liquid for these purposes. Maybe chicken soup will be considered like a davar yavesh, which is kind of wild, because the cooking doesn't go away. It's a tremendous cooler when you think about it. He doesn't say lamaisa, obviously, but since the cooling doesn't go away, and the cold chicken soup still has whatever molecular change happened, still remains, so it's hard to know why the kula of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal would apply to chicken soup. And it's entirely possible, says Rabbi Willig, that the kula of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal does not apply to chicken soup. So now, let's just review. What we basically have is three svaras of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal and three possible distinctions between Yavesh and three reasons to distinguish between Yavesh and Lach. We have the approach of you're not accomplishing anything. We have the approach of the din of Bishal is creating food. And we have the approach of the din of Bishal is making a chemical change. The last two approaches, if you just think about it conceptually, should relate to our two understandings of that Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. When the Rambam says, if I cook something that doesn't require cooking, so I'm putter. So what does that Rambam mean? So the Sharetzin and those Kufyodala, it says, come on, you're going to tell me that cooking water is putter? It can't be that you're putter for cooking water. Well, I'm not sure. If you hold that the malacha of Bishul Min HaTorah is creating food, so then water was food beforehand. And there's no iser of something that was food making it to food again. However, if you take the approach that Bishul involves some change, some molecular change, we'll say it, so then when I take cold water and make it hot, at least for that moment when it's hot, there certainly is molecular change in the water, so then I certainly violate Bishul Min HaTorah. These two approaches, right, really relate to the Machlokas HaRishonim, which is, it's a Machlokas Achron, the Machlokas HaRishonim, as to whether someone who cooks an item that is Ne'echal Chai, if you cook an item that's edible Ruah, do you violate Bishul? If you take the approach that the Malacha of Bishul means creating food, so something that's Ne'echal Chai, you're not creating food. But if I take the approach that the Malacha of Bishul is making a molecular change in a substance, so then when I heat up water, I am making a molecular change, and that would be a chi of min ha-Torah on heating up the water. Again, what we try to do today, just to summarize very briefly, is we're discussing differences between solid and liquid in Bishul. The major difference between solid and liquid is the position of the rush that's adopted by the Mechaber, that by liquids I paskin yesh Bishul achar Bishul. Why that would be true, that by liquids yesh Bishul achar Bishul as opposed to solids, so we presented three possibilities that we noted, but it's entirely possible that according to some of these definitions, or perhaps according to the majority of these svaras, so chicken soup is considered a solid rather than halachically being considered a liquid. Okay, gentlemen, if there are any comments, I'm happy to take them. If not, we can log off. Okay, Chevra, have a wonderful day. You could WhatsApp questions to the WhatsApp list, etc. Have a great day.